And certainly, what do Jews have in common, even in our own 21st century, between the Jews living in Israel and the Jews living in America? Indeed, each community aspires to be one community. But indeed, are there not differences in terms of background, in terms of associations, that the myth of the Jewish people may indeed be something that Jews aspire to reach? But do we always have a commonality? Now, I'm not going to answer that question fully. I don't think I can. But I want you to at least raise the issue that this is the issue of living within the land and living outside the land is already a crucial component of the uniqueness of the Jewish experience. With the problem of spatial and temporal discontinuity, although it is real, Jews, however, usually acted as a self-conscious and definable group. In other words, they acted corporately and were acted upon corporately. In the Middle Ages, for example, Jews were more or less a legal corporation, governing themselves by their own divine laws, as interpreted by the rabbis, and buttressed by governmental authority. Only in the modern period did Jews begin to acquire regular citizenship with no special corporate rights and disabilities. But as you will see, losing that corporate status is a function of the modern era. In the pre-modern world, the nature of Jewish religious affiliation is all-embracing. Jews think about their law not only in terms of their own personal lives, but how it affects their profession, their community, the entire calendar of the Jewish year, the entire moment that that Jews give birth to the time they die is recognized through a corporate structure of Jewish law. Religion, therefore, is not compartmentalized as we know it today, but indeed is an all-bracing kind of affiliation. Within the context of Jews moving from place to place, from culture to culture, they take that form of all-embracing religious affiliation with them. In more recent times, of course, and again, this raises the issue of what happens to the Jews in the last four centuries of our modern world, the sense of group consciousness and religious affiliation has actually diminished for many Jews. That sense of corporate structure, of seeing themselves as a community, whether they are or not, seems to somehow be attenuated to some extent. And therefore, the problem of the Jew living in the last centuries is the problem of defining what it means to be a Jew. What is the nature of this corporate consciousness? How can I explain it when the situation has, in many respects, as we will see, changed? One more point by way of introduction. To study Jewish history in the context of an academic discipline in a university requires something that may be obvious to you, but I want to repeat it nevertheless. One cannot study Jewish history in isolation from the general currents of the time. The Bible cannot be studied without relationship to an ancient Near East. Medieval Jewish thought cannot be studied without consulting Islamic and Christian philosophy. And clearly Zionism, of course, a subject we will reach in this course, cannot be studied without reference to the history of modern nationalism. We take that for granted, but as you will see, for many Jews who have studied their past, they have primarily studied it in the context of an isolated phenomenon. To really understand this particular community and its history is to engage with the larger world and to see the patterns of interaction and intercultural communication that goes on constantly in defining the nature of Jewish identity. And that brings me to another subject by way of our preliminaries. Jewish history has not been studied only for the first time by the modern academic scholar. There is a long study of the Jewish past within Western civilization as a whole, and clearly certain dominant approaches have prevailed, which have had a great impact upon the way Jews have seen themselves and have been seen by others. What I'd like to do is mention three previous approaches that have clearly had left their mark on the study of the Jewish historical past. And as you will see, I'm going to suggest that each one of them has its limitations. And in order to provide you with the kind of course that I would like to offer, I'm going to try to overcome these limitations. Let me begin with the first approach, which I want to call the Jewish traditional approach. The Jewish traditional approach is incorporated into the basic assumptions inherent in the Jewish tradition itself.